Live Imagery Tuesday. Oh, I don't even know this song. Is this Yacht Rock?
I don't think so.
I don't even know what this is.
I can't see the name of the song because the camera's in front of me. I'll tell you.
Live Imagery Tuesday, hashtag lit on Mason and Ireland.
Yeah.
So, Johnny.
Yeah.
Bestie. Were you surprised that Team Mace pulled it out Friday night?
No. Once I actually switched my allegiance once they made the roster changes.
Well, that's right.
I thought when they replaced Lindsay and Ramona with Matt and Brady, that was a major roster upgrade and that Mason pretty much solidified GM of the year. And I thought that would lead to victory.
Oddly enough, those guys didn't do anything, right, Mace?
Brady didn't really because he was a DH. No, and I don't think he hit a lot. Matt, I think, made
Didn't Matt hit a homer?
Matt did a homer.
Did he homer? Oh, that's right.
He was part of the back-to-back-to-back.
The threesome homers.
In the fourth. Yeah, exactly.
God, Kaplan was getting rocked.
He was rocked and then couldn't find the plate.
Couldn't find the plate.
Oh. Now, Chris, where do you stand? I gave Mace a hard time yesterday that he walked in a celebrity softball game. who's the guy that I met him at the Mandy's, but who's the guy whose alias is Alan Sliwa's Murphy?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Raul from OC.
Yeah,
Raul,
very good. Yeah, very good listener. Guy. Raul had a good line. He said, Mace, I didn't drive all the way from the OC to West Covina to watch you draw a walk.
But it's true. A lot of things were weird that night with the ump. Like, remember Brady got hit a couple times?
Brady got hit.
And they didn't advance the base.
They don't award you. Well, in softball, it's not
it
like.
It is softball. It's not like Brady's got a welt
to
prove
it. Because if that was the case, Mason just would have stood on the plate.
There were five balls one time, and then the ump.
Mason would have turned into Justin Turner. Yeah, sometimes. Just would have stood on the plate.
Sometimes there were five balls. Sometimes there were four balls.
The ump confronted me during the postgame show.
Oh, did he really?
Yeah. He's like, hey, man, you were the one announcing.
Where did we even find him?
He can't. I don't know.
Wait, did he just tweet in and all of a sudden he's the umpire?
No, I think he was through West Covina.
There are services that provide
but
that.
But he was like, hey, man, maybe you need one of these, the clicker. I know. I said, I had one. I just couldn't see and you weren't calling the game right.
Because Bergman got into it with the umpire, right?
I did. I almost got kicked out.
Oh, that would have been great.
I was kicking dirt at him. It was a whole thing. He called me something bad.
Brian Cranston got kicked out of the Hollywood Stars game at Dodger Stadium.
Yes, he did. By the way, I got a text.
For kicking dirt on the umpire.
I asked Brian about the game. This is what he said. I was completely exhausted by the end. My legs felt like dead tree trunks. I have a muscle strain on my right thumb, a laceration and a hematoma on my left hand, and I have a contusion on my chest from being hit by a hard line
drive. Sounds like you.
So, yeah, it was pretty fun. Also, I know that there was a lot of negative talk about him when he was a player, but Andre Ethier was a prince. So was Sean Green, Hunter Pence, Adrian Beltre, CC Sabathia, all that stuff. So he had a really good time, but he is very beat up.
I never heard bad stuff about Andre Ethier when he played. Did
I
you?
Did. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
There you go.
All right, on that note, Mason and Ireland continues now.
Well, on that note,
got to do a better job of listening.
Everybody gets nicer when they become an ex-player.
But I mean, it's not like he's like Nomar when he was a player, like. Wouldn't give anybody the time of day,
right.
And now he's an
he's
analyst.
Media, right,
and he's pretty
right.
good.
That happened with a lot of guys. Like Kirk Gibson was salty as hell. Then he ended up doing Tigers games. I mean, you know, you become nicer as a former professional athlete. So a lot of people have run through. We asked this question: just if you're a Lakers fan, do you really want Kyrie? And there are some other players out there floating around. And the premise is you can get two of these guys: Miles Turner, Buddy Hield, Eric Gordon, and Pat Beverly. You get two of those four. Or you get Kyrie, which way do you go?
Fernando, Culver City. Fernando, you're on ESPN LA. Hi.
Hi, guys. Two quick points. The main point is, I want to talk about Westbrook.
Yeah.
And his stats when he was with Houston, which was only a year ago, he averaged 11 rebounds, 11 assists, and 23 points a game. Somebody doesn't fall off that quick other than how you use them on the court. He's got a lot of ability, and I think I'm glad we're keeping him. It's just not talked about how good he is as a player.
Yeah, by the way, the talent is undeniable, although he's on the downside now. You'd have to acknowledge that. And you also have to acknowledge that it didn't fit very well.
Yeah, but how is he on the downside? How does that happen in 1 year?
Well, just age. I mean, just getting older. And by the way, he was on a team where nothing was going on, where they were not even trying to win. So the stats are to some degree empty.
And by the way, Fernando, it's all about the complaints about Russ are about fit. Now, I mean, he still had a very good statistical year. He averaged 18-7-7.
Yes.
The question is, does he fit with LeBron and AD, and will he make the necessary adjustments? Now, Darvin Ham seems very happy to have him and claims he's going to use him differently. Now, I don't know if Darvin's going to be able to get Russ to stop shooting threes. I don't know if he's going to be able to get Russ to start playing defense. But you, Fernando, you point out, he's the best rebounding guard in the NBA, always has been. And he's led the league in assists before.
Yeah, led the league in assists in 2021.
So I don't. Right. I think there is something there, but it's will Russ listen and make those adjustments? Last year it didn't seem like he was willing to do that.
Yeah, I think the point is, I'll let you go, I just don't see how he would fall off. It's not the same player he was in a year, as everybody is talking about. I don't think that's the case. I think it's how they use them, the fit, and maybe the coach can do something different.
All right, we'll see.
Cool. Thanks, Fernando.
Here is Steve in Sherman Oaks. Hey, Steve, you're on ESPN LA. Hi.
Hey, guys. To me, out on Kyrie, I think he's a cancer. He's just unbearable. He's a toxic to teammates. You could see Steve Nash didn't want him on the roster in the first place, and neither Sean Marks, but when the owner wants to make a splash and you're the afterthought as this JV team to an awful Knicks team, that tells you where you are. And let's face it, guys, what was the biggest problem for the Lakers last year? Defense. Kyrie is just he doesn't even try defensively. He's an embarrassment. As great as he is on the offensive end, he wouldn't fit any better than Westbrook is. And on top of that, he's always injured. The guy never plays. So why would you want to bring that on their team? I'd rather run it back with Russ, or if they end up buying him out, I'd go with Miles Turner, who I think is a big, who can score, rebound, and give us Pat Bev. Say what you want about him. The guy plays his ass off. He's going to give you defense. He's going to give you hustle. That's what this Laker team needs. So give me those two guys. But as far as Kyrie goes, why would any franchise ever trust him? Everybody thinks he's on a one-year deal. He's going to audition. I think what we learned about the guy, he's all about himself, and he's going to do whatever the hell he wants. And no thank you. He's always telling us basketball's not important to him. And it doesn't define him. He just should go retire, go away. Out on him. I don't care what LeBron says. No.
All right, thanks,
your
man.
Point is well made.
But it's not like Michael Thompson, for example, thinks Kyrie's the best one-on-one player in the league. He's that good.
Yes.
He's that unguardable.
But he is also that sketchy and that unreliable.
And he did lead the Cavs to the finals when he had LeBron with him for four straight years. That's what you would be buying. Here is Brian in Oxnard. Hey, Brian, you're on ESPN LA. Hi.
Hey, what's up? So I totally disagree with a gentleman that just was on the phone. I think we going into this year, if we have Westbrook, we already know what the end result looks like. Yeah, I get the only played, was it like 16 games together, give or take? But even then, it still didn't look
21 games. They were 11-10 with all three.
Yeah, that's not that great, honestly. So my thing is this, is from the get-go, when they got Russ, I love Russ. I saw him at UCLA. I'm a UCLA basketball fan. I knew it wasn't going to fit because there's only one basketball to share. He's not good off the ball. Kyrie is good off the ball. So you really know the end result with what you have right now. Why not just for a one-year rental, go in with Kyrie? If it doesn't work out, guess what? You move on the next year rather than having to pay Russ $48 million, whatever it is, and you already know he's not going to fit in. Go all in this year. Get Kyrie. It's a better option.
All right, thanks, man. That's a guy who wants Kyrie.
Wants Kyrie. So they're on both sides. I put a poll up as a Lakers fan. Do you want Kyrie? Hell yeah, or no way in hell. We'll let you know how that goes.
Here's Jack and Chino. Hey, Jack, you're on ESPN LA. Hi.
Hey, I want to say first I heard Mason. I was at West Covina. He was a great singer of the national anthem. I actually got chills.
Wow, chills. By the way, Scott Kaplan did help with the national anthem, so he did a nice job also.
Were you reading cue cards? How did you remember every word perfectly? It was unbelievable. It was great.
I have sung the national anthem at many events. It is the one song that I know how to sing. I can't sing any other song except that one, but I always get the words right.
And I used to watch John Ireland play basketball at Sports Club LA, so I'm an old guy. But let me just say, I all the stuff that you're saying is great. I'm so glad you're opening this up. But the whole Laker franchise right now is built – just give me 30 seconds, I promise.
Yeah, go ahead.
Built on a fallacy. It was a four-month vacation. everybody says, oh, they won the bubble a year. They won. It was a four-month vacation. Then it was a no-travel bubble. AD is not going to have four-month vacations anymore. You got to, you guys, look what Danny Ainge is doing. While you still can get some, after next year, LeBron gets nothing. You get nothing for LeBron. And if AD gets hurt, you get nothing. Please be open to doing something. Pelinka's not the guy. He doesn't have the experience. He never paid his dues. All he did was screw over Magic. Please consider a four-month vacation in a bubble is not a championship formula to build on.
Okay,
thank
so
you.
Thank you, Jack. So you do. He does not put any value in the bubble championship.
I put more value in
I
the bubble championship.
I think it was tough, man. It was tough winning that
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, and that's interesting. He said all he did was screw over Magic.
I think it was the other way around.
Didn't Magic screw
Magic
over
screwed
Rob?
Over Rob, yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
by up and leaving,
Rob
with
didn't
no
just
warning
in the middle of the night say I'm out.
Magic forgot to give us 2 weeks.
Here's Solomon in Lake Balboa. Hey, Solomon.
Hey, Solomon.
You're on ESPN LA.
Yeah. Hey, guys. I like your plan, John. If I can get two dependable players, good quality players, maybe they don't have the talent of a Kyrie, but they don't live on planet Kyrie, and that is a complete crapshoot for the Lakers this coming season. And if you can wait around, see what he does this coming season. And like you say, you got better odds the following season as far as money and, you know, getting.
Right,
yeah, we're losing you,
yeah.
Solomon.
Look, there are a couple of ways to look at this. First of all, if you keep Westbrook, you've got the $47 million available cap space next year. I don't know what free agents are out there, but Pelinka or whoever will be able to spend it on them. On top of that, you could make the deal for Kyrie, although there's no indication right now that Brooklyn is entertaining offers.
Hold on. You just hit on the number one thing. Like, I hear people, and people say it to me, well, Ireland, they got to go out and get Kyrie. It's not up to the Lakers. It's up to Brooklyn. Brooklyn has the asset. They have to be willing to make a trade. And so far, they haven't. Not for Kyrie, not for Durant. They're hanging on to those guys for now. And so if you're Rob Pelinka or any other GM, you've got to go kind of make a plan without them because Brooklyn doesn't seem all that willing to engage yet. And if you're sitting around waiting to see what Brooklyn does, you may miss out on the other stuff. So I'm glad to hear stories from guys like Woj that the Lakers are talking to other teams too.
Sure.
In case this Kyrie thing doesn't happen, because it's almost likely that it won't. If Brooklyn doesn't.
You think it's now likely that they don't make the Kyrie or can't make a Kyrie deal?
I just wonder, do you think Brooklyn wants Russ?
No, but I think if KD, according as Dave McMenamin said, wants Kyrie out, the Lakers seem to be the suitor.
Right.
Maybe
but
the
you
only
need another,
suitor.
Yeah, no, you need another team to take Russ.
Right.
So,
because I don't think anybody's in the Kyrie business except the Lakers. Do you?
I haven't heard anybody.
Yeah, I haven't heard anybody either. I mean, I think they're both unbelievably distressed assets. It would make sense to trade one for the other. But Brooklyn has so far not engaged. All right, coming up next, John, you're a big wine drinker. You love wine. Michael Thompson loves wine. For me, it's just red water or yellow water.
Yeah.
One way or the other.
Hey, how am I supposed to slurp the wine?
With a straw.
No, wait a minute. Now, this is not made up, John, is it? You're supposed to bring some air. Well, you take a sip, then you bring some air.
Yeah, you don't do that. You don't slurp the wine.
Then you get a good taste, and you get the aroma and all that stuff. Then you have you never done this?
No, I can't smell, so I don't know what I'm going to do.
You have no
smelling.
Sense of smell?
Uh-uh.
Yeah, Bergman, you're not a wine drinker, are you?
I mean, I drink it.
Okay.
It tastes good.
Dan Orlovsky, who stiffed us twice on the show, and by the way, we'll never let that go, has a take on red wine that is fascinatingly stupid. John, LeBron, we forgot to mention this yesterday, lit it up at the Drew League over the weekend.
Yeah, 42 points.
And there was a picture that floated around that caused much internet conversation, much social media conversation. I'll tell you what that picture was coming up next. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You got him at the hook play. Yacht Rock on a live imaging Tuesday on Mason and Ireland.
Nothing cooler.
Hey, listen, LZ actually sent a group text to the old morning show group text.
Yeah.
Saturday morning and said, Key, I better not hear any Yacht Rock at this party.
Really?
Why is LZ anti-Yacht Rock?
I don't know, but it was funny because I was listening to Yacht Rock on the course at the
time. Yeah, I mean, the 70s, it was fantastic.
It was still great now.
Mm.
You know what was fantastic, John?
What?
So Friday night after the game,
okay.
Of course, we were all stunned. They're taking pictures on the field and stuff. I just keep talking about the game.
Yes.
And I think Ramona had gone down. Then slowly but surely, like, Clinton comes up, Ramona comes back up, Mace comes up, and we're doing, like, a post-game show.
Right.
And there's, like, 50 people in front of us, and at one point, Mace cursed.
And you were, like, in the role of Sliwa.
I would prefer Travis on the Rams.
Okay. Yeah, there you go.
But at one point, because I didn't know if we are we on social media, so are we on the radio, whatever. So, I'm helping. I'm pitching in.
I know you got to hurry up to get to the conversation.
You got lost in your conversation.
No, I didn't.
So,
I was responding to John.
I'm helping you. I'm spreading some breadcrumbs. Follow these.
Mace curses, and just out of habit, I go, easy, Mace. We're a family show. Mace goes, we're only on the stream, right? I go, we're not anywhere. We're literally just sitting here talking. we were doing a post-game show for the people in front of us.
Right, and let me guess, after that, when Mason found out that it wasn't on the air anywhere, did he leave?
No, because he felt bad, because everyone was looking at us, and we were on the PA.
So yeah, we were on the PA, so you could hear it, but we weren't on anywhere. So I cussed, and I was like, what's the point if we're not on the air?
I would think that
but the people there, totally loved it.
They did love it.
Yeah, it was a great show.
It was.
A great show. Did you find your way through this conversation?
I didn't have a problem.
Sometimes you get lost. Sometimes I think your brain, you scramble things around and then comes out in a weird way.
Is that what you've been wanting to get out for 3 months when you've been anti-Live Imaging Tuesday? Are you happy?
I'm not
feel better now?
I'm pro-Live Imaging Tuesday.
No, you're not. John is.
It's therapy for you.
We've switched spots.
This is therapy for Morales.
Okay. Well, Mason and Ireland and that Drewy conversation continues now.
All right, so Dan Orlovsky today was on.
Orlovsky,
who stiffed us twice, was on the Get Up Show, and this conversation took place. This is Mike Greenberg and Dan Orlovsky.
You know, we talk a lot about Dan Orlovsky and the controversial takes that he sometimes offers on this show and NFL Live, but perhaps none has ever resonated quite like this one. A tweet from over the weekend in which Dan tweets, as you see, red wine, all kinds, should be drank chilled with ice cubes in it. The reaction to this has been understandably overwhelming. And so, Dan, if I could, I'll bring everyone in a little bit here for some reaction. Dan, can you explain that take?
Yeah, easily. So, I like red wine.
No, you don't.
Now, the reason why I like it, the only thing that should be drank at room temperature, I didn't hear that. The only thing that should be drank at room temperature is water. Just drink water at room temperature. I like red wine, but like, why do I have to drink it warm? And for everybody that's sitting there telling me, well, that means you haven't had really good wine. No, I don't drink $150 bottles of wine every night. So I drink good wine, not great wine. So I want to enhance that wine a little bit. Chill it and put a little ice. It's much more enjoyable.
All right, so there's Dan's take. John, you're a big wine drinker. You're kind of wine snobby like Michael Thompson. What do you think of Dan Orlovsky's concept of ice in red wine?
He's not enhancing anything. He's detracting from the wine. Here's the reason why you'll hear a lot about how long wine is aged and whether or not you decant the wine and whether or not to air it out, blah, blah, blah. You want the wine.
Let it breathe.
Yeah, you want the wine to be as pure as you can make it. Mm-hmm. It won't be perfect. You want it to be the right temperature. When you put ice in red wine, which, by the way, I've never heard of anyone else even advocating.
My mom drinks red wine with ice every single
time. As long as she knows that you're literally watering down the wine, then it's okay. If you don't mind watering down the wine.
If you want it chilled.
If you want it chilled, you can serve it in a chilled glass.
Like, what's the difference between ice and wine and sangria. That's chilled red wine with fruit and stuff in it.
Right, but when I drink sangria, I never drink it chilled.
You know, sangria normally comes chilled. It's on ice.
No,
sangria comes on ice.
What about putting the bottle in the fridge?
Yeah, I mean, I've had a cold bottle of sangria, but I've never put it on ice. I've never seen ice in red wine ever. Yeah. I haven't even seen ice in rosé, which is like a light, like kind of summery drink. You don't want to water down your wine. It directly affects the taste.
Yeah, sangria. I when I used to drink back in the day before Clearman's Galley, I would drink sangria and it would come on ice. Now here's the interesting thing. So people spend so much money on wine.
Yeah,
I'm always amazed. It's like I went to Boa a couple of weeks ago and they said, "Hey, it's half price bottle night."
Mm-hmm.
For everything up to $300. I'm like, are you kidding me?
Right.
$300? I would never, red wine, I would never, ever spend that much on wine. Now, what's the most expensive bottle of wine you've had that you've bought?
Okay, true story.
Okay.
Gary Vitti had a birthday party, and Gary loves wine. So Lisa and I went to, there's a place called the Wine House in West L.A., not far from when you were. Remember when you used to live in West L.A.?
Yes.
You lived on Malcolm.
On Malcolm,
right?
Yes.
Right around the corner from there.
Malcolm at Olympic.
Okay. It's right off the 405.
Yep.
And they have everything.
Yes.
They can get you any bottle of wine you want. So I said, what's a really good bottle of wine? Vitti had been very good to me for a lot of years. And so Lisa and I decided we bought him a $450 bottle of wine.
Oh, my God.
And we took it to the party. And we put it on a table.
Yep.
And we watched the party get bigger and bigger and bigger.
Somebody opened the wine?
Somebody knocked it on the ground and broke it.
Oh, $450.
I went back and told the guy at the wine house that gave it to me, and so he sold me another bottle for half price.
No, that's nice.
So that was nice. Somebody. Yeah. So I ended up buying Gary a $600 bottle of wine. But
probably the most I've
for
spent
myself,
on
I've never spent more than $200.
Yeah, probably the most I've spent on any kind of liquor is I like to give, and I gave Key a bottle of Dom for his birthday.
Right.
Because I always think that's a good yeah. thing. Everybody likes that.
But 175?
Something like that. Yeah, something like that. For me, I don't understand all the hoopla about wine. Like, I know it's like a thing, and then people smoke cigars and drink wine and all that stuff. I don't understand it. For me, all wine tastes the same. Yellow wine tastes like yellow wine. Red wine tastes like red wine, like red water. I don't get the wine thing. Do you do all the like tastes and the bouquet?
Sometimes.
Do you do the oaky right. flavors so, and cherry notes and stuff like that?
Do you think all tequila tastes the same?
I do.
Okay. Have you ever had Casa Azul in this blue and white bottle?
No, I don't think so.
Jorge, you've had it?
Oh, man. This is
so
great.
That is Worthy's favorite tequila.
Yeah.
So I decided.
How much is a bottle of that?
Okay. So I decided to buy him a bottle for his birthday.
Okay.
What do you think it got? What do you think it cost me, George?
$250.
What do you think?
$300.
You guys were right in the neighborhood. It was $240.
Mm.
You know, when the kind I got, I mean, you can get it for a little less or depending on your stuff, you can get a little more. But good high-end liquor costs money.
I'm a big well guy.
Well, then you'll drink well whatever is in there.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, Jorge, you can tell the difference between different tequilas.
Yeah, between especially on the añejo and the reposado, the different taste.
So describe me.
The añejo. Reposado. The Casa Azul you can get for like $175.
Okay, yeah, but it's to me that's a little more bitter.
So añejo Reposado, and what's the difference between those two?
Oh, so Reposado to me is a little bitter, like a little strong taste.
Got it.
Mace, look at this bottle. This bottle of Casa Azul, it's their master bottle. Can you see the price?
Oh my God!
Is that añejo?
$30,000.
$30,000. Who would spend that kind of money?
NBA players.
Yeah. True.
You know, I think you sent this. Ronald Acuna Jr. was walking around the field at the All-Star game last night with a $140,000 necklace on. $140,000
chain.
Chain.
Right.
first of all, I
what's your chain cost? You got a chain going right now?
I don't. Jorge's got chains. Going.
Chain? What are your chain? What's your chain running you?
These
140,000.
They look nice.
No, they're probably like $150 each.
Yeah, you know the story. You know the story of those, right?
Those chains?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, Jorge, tell the story
again.
Ireland doesn't remember it. So
black and it's a black chain and a white chain, just like the alchemist, the black stone and the white stone.
Yes, exactly.
All right, yeah. So it's in honor of the alchemist.
That's right.
Yeah,
okay.
Paulo Coelho. Right?
I just think generally, generally speaking, professional athletes, and this is a broad generalization, can be very irresponsible with their money.
Yes, they can. Remember, there was a 30 for 30 called Broke. Where it talked about 80% of, you know,
professional athletes broke,
eventually run out of their money. Well, okay, a weird alchemist story. If you ask either Phil Jackson or Steve Mason what their favorite book is, that's it.
Yep. Jorge, it sounds like you're in the same category.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Archer.
Have you ever read it?
Nope.
Yeah, you've read all of them. The Archer.
Most of them, yeah.
Nope, never read it.
Yeah.
What's the book jacket description of the alchemist?
Little kid. Growing up with a small herd of sheep, goes on a mission to try to follow a dream and fulfill his personal legend, winds up in Egypt, all this kind of stuff. It's a great, great story. And it's, I guess it would be a fable, right? I think it's called a fable. How have you never read it if it's Phil Jackson's favorite book?
I just haven't. It didn't sound interesting to me. Plus, I don't read a ton of fiction books. Right now, you know, I just started reading. I almost read the whole book this weekend.
Yeah.
Do you know who Ken Auletta is?
Yes. I've actually had him on the podcast. He's a writer for New York Magazine.
He's been a writer in New York for years.
Ken Auletta. He's the guy that wrote a lot about Elizabeth Holmes and Theranos.
Right. And he also wrote a very... interesting profile of Harvey Weinstein in the 1990s, and everybody said, what is he not saying? And he knew. The first book I ever read was, he wrote a book called Three Blind Mice about the TV networks and how they, you know, think about the fact that you and I never watch network TV anymore.
Yeah.
So in the 90s, he wrote a book about how the networks were losing their way. It turned out to be kind of prophetic.
Right.
His most recent book is about Weinstein and how he was able to go so long without anybody catching him.
Yep.
And it's really good. It's really interesting. It just came out last week. The book came out last week.
Oh, the book came out last week. He wrote a whole book on this?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. All right. Coming up next for you. See, I read mostly fiction. I don't read nonfiction.
Yeah, I'm the opposite.
Yeah, I'm looking to escape from the real world. You read a lot of those kinds of books.
Biographies, yeah, stuff like
that. Yeah, exactly. All right, coming up next, we mentioned the Drew League. There was one photo that circulated around that caused a big stir on social media. I'll explain what that is coming up next. Mason, Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. 10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Live Avenging Tuesday, Mason in Ireland. So here's the thing. Yesterday was a topic on Sedano and Cap. We've done the softball game, which we're going to do every year now. That's going to become an annual.
That's official?
Like Mandy's.
Nice.
And the golf tournament. But what, John, since you and Sedano, missed this one.
Yeah.
What if we did a celebrity, which is really just us, basketball game on All-Star Saturday night or something around
that? I guarantee you I'd miss it. That is the one week
that's when John always goes on vacation, right?
Always something.
So pretty much, yeah, it is always something.
Yeah, but no, that's honestly his break.
Now that you said that, I know. Yeah. That's true.
So
we should do
but
something.
But that doesn't
Johnson.
Mean you guys still can't do it.
Would I you mean, actually? But if we could do it at any point, would you play?
Sure. I mean, if I'm here, okay. But it's hard. It's hard for me to do it during the basketball season because we have games every week.
I don't know if I would play.
You don't want to mace plant too?
My basketball resume is well known at
it's
this
well
point.
Documented yeah, on
very
video
well documented.
At every event we do.
That sign in the next room with the freeze frame pictures of me and the mace plant.
I think I owe him $200.
Yeah, you
Casper
do owe
Villa.
Him $200. Yeah, yeah.
That wasn't really an anti mace.
Yes, it
I
was.
Wanted something nasty.
Oh, you wanted right. Why do you
mace,
want nasty?
My neighbor Cindy, who I drink with a lot, says sangria is served on ice. I'll convince you at the block party.
There you go.
Which is the my block party's in 2 weeks.
Yeah, sangria's on ice.
Are
right?
we going to the block party, Mace?
Oh,
you guys are invited. Bergman's been to it.
Am I invited to the block
I
party?
I have been. It was fun.
Well, you just said you guys are invited.
Bergman's been
all.
To it. Amanda's been to
am
it.
Am I invited?
Sure.
What's the day?
30th.
Oh yeah, I'm there.
All right,
I'm so there. I really want to see how the other side lives.
Oh, no, the 30th, we're at camp. Training. We are. We're at training camp.
We are.
Not you
Bergman,
guys.
What day are we at training camp?
We're there the next Wednesday. It's the 3rd and the 8th.
3rd and the 8th, if you're scoring
which is
at
a
home.
Wednesday and a Monday.
And if you are, why are you listening
yeah,
to
why?
Us?
Yeah, exactly.
I just got an email from the Rams that says Rams football is 1 month away. That's the home preseason game. That
wow, only, that's quick.
Only one preseason game for the Rams this year. It's against
no,
the
no,
Texans.
There are two. There's one home game.
There's three games total,
three games
one,
and
home
one
home
game.
Okay,
yeah,
three total.
Three games, one
all
right. home.
By the way, we are your official home of the Los Angeles
yes,
Rams,
the
Super Bowl
champion, Los Angeles.
So
Rams.
Should we say Super Bowl champion or world champion?
Now, this
the
is
imaging.
A point of contention for Michael Thompson. He says you should say Super Bowl champion, but they always say world champion on the rings and on the trophy.
Plus, I don't know other countries that play football. Are there other? Do other countries play
well,
yeah. football? I think it's kind of our
well,
game.
Only because of us.
Well, the CFL.
Oh, right, the Canadian.
But the Canadian Football League started because of us, and the thing Trudell worked in. What was the one
NFL
that was
Europe.
Overseas? Yeah, that was all because of us.
Yeah.
So it's our game.
So let's make an imaging decision here.
Okay.
Should we say Super Bowl champion Los Angeles Rams or world champion Los Angeles
well,
Rams?
Well, although I think world champion is accurate, Super Bowl champion to me sounds cooler.
Yeah, I think
but are
Super
we allowed
Bowl.
To say Super Bowl? Isn't yeah. that a point of contention?
No, it's
no, because we're on
because
the...
like you always have to say big game
we're
every
partners.
Year.
We're
well, yeah, we're not promoting a Super Bowl. We're talking about being a Super Bowl champion. I think.
Normally,
yeah.
if you say Super Bowl, somebody comes looking for money.
I also think you should throw around the term Lombardi Trophy a lot in imaging.
Well, I did last. What I did for the run to the Lombardi Trophy.
Yes,
should
exactly.
we say it again? A repeat
yeah.
for the Lombardi Trophy.
Run it back.
You like that, don't you?
Run it back for the Lombardi.
Okay, we'll do that.
Yeah. Excellent.
All right, Mason and Ireland continues right now.
All right, cool. So over the weekend, John, LeBron James played in the Drew League. Now, explain what the Drew League is.
Drew League is a middle school that's in L.A. that a bunch of players for years have been coming to in the offseason and just showing up and playing. And a lot of famous players play. Now, LeBron had not been since 2011. But there was a rumor, McMenamin reported it, that both Kyrie and LeBron were expected to play last Saturday. Mm. Kyrie was going to play in a morning game and LeBron in an afternoon game. Kyrie didn't show up. LeBron did, and LeBron just put on a show.
Yep.
Scored 42 points, had 14 rebounds.
Yep.
Just, and the gym was packed. You know, as soon as word got out that LeBron was coming, everybody showed up. Because I think it's free.
Yeah.
And everybody just showed up to watch. LeBron and DeMar DeRozan played on the same team. And
I
he looked great.
Go. All right, so here we go. Pictures with LeBron and DeMar DeRozan all over social media because they played together. Now, this is LeBron ultimately made the Lakers choose Westbrook over DeRozan. DeRozan was a possibility, according to Magic Johnson. LA had their eyes set on bringing DeRozan to the West Coast, and the interest was mutual. James played GM, made a decision that in hindsight looks to be the wrong one. NBA fans just couldn't help but poke fun at LeBron for picking Westbrook over DeMar DeRozan after seeing the two teams play in the Drew League. Here's some of a sampling of the tweets. At Huey No Larry, should have been a Laker. You chose Russ instead. Fix your mistake now. Imagine if you were able to land DeMar DeRozan instead of Westbrook. Imagine you passed up on this to get Russell Westbrook. It's kind of a case of sliding doors. What would the Lakers season have looked like last year if they had gone DeRozan instead of Westbrook?
All right, I'm going to be honest here.
Yep.
And admit it. If you listen to the station, you already know this. I would have taken Westbrook over DeRozan. I now admit that that didn't fit, at least not last year.
And DeRozan had just a
monster year. And I love DeMar. He is a great kid. He's from Compton.
King of the mid-range.
USC.
Yep.
Like, he's just a – and he you could have made an argument last year he should have been first-team All-NBA.
Yes.
DeRozan was great. I've always thought the world of his game. As you know, I love Westbrook because he played 100 miles an hour with his hair on fire. He just didn't fit.
Yep.
Now, Darvin Ham seems to think – that he has a blueprint which would allow Russ to fit. And we may get the chance to see it. If you don't, I think you're the same as me. If they would have asked us 2 weeks ago, is Westbrook going to be on the team when training camp opens? We both probably would have said no.
Yes.
Aren't you leaning yes now? The more you hear, the more you watch the tea leaves.
Disappointingly, yes.
So it's easy to kill LeBron and say he picked Westbrook over DeRozan, but truth be told, if I was making that decision, I would have taken Westbrook over to Rosen.
But sliding doors, what would the world look
better? Because we now know that the first thing didn't work. And they're going to try and reinvent it and maybe make it work this time, hopefully with some other pieces. But it's tough for me to criticize or kill anybody who says they should have taken DeRozan over Westbrook.
Because you would have done the same.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would have been wrong, but I would have.
All right. Coming up next for you. Bobcat. Now, Bergman, how's Bobcat looking today?
Oh, it's just looking fantastic. Yeah. Greatest Bobcat ever.
Took some stories from me.
Bobcat. Reviews,
no stories from you.
Yeah,
you did. It was my stories that you wanted.
These are all your stories. Okay.
Greg, as I've told you many times, any stories I send you, you are free to put in Bobcat.
Yes, which I appreciate. And most of these are all, actually, I might have taken one that you had. Okay. I did take one of your stories.
And also coming up at 3 o'clock, Darvin Ham. Again, was on the All the Smoke podcast, talks about Anthony Davis. So we got that coming up for you at 3. Bobcat is next. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Thanks, Chris and Amanda. All right, so I don't think we've gotten around to talking about this yet, and I thought it was interesting to talk about. So Cole Swider is an undrafted rookie out of Syracuse that also spent time at Villanova for most of his college career under Jay Wright. Swider was signed to a two-way contract with the Lakers, and he went off behind the arc in Summer League, shooting 28 of 53 for 53%. So how much of a role do you see for him next year, John?
A lot. I think he's Austin Reeves next year. So the role that Austin Reeves had this past year, I think Cole Swider has in the coming year. I think he's going to play a lot. I think if he makes that three, he becomes an option for LeBron to kick out to when he penetrates, and Westbrook, if he's on the team, to kick out to and penetrate to. I think he's going to – Mace, I think the kid's going to be the next Austin Reeves. I think he's going to play 15 minutes a game.
Well, I mean, that's what you hope for. I mean, that's what you look for from those undrafted – free agents. They did it with Austin Reeves. They've done it multiple times over the years, and this is another opportunity. I mean, he shot plus 50%, over 50% from 3-point during the summer league. So yeah, I mean, that's what they're hoping for. And when you're in the situation that the Lakers are now, where you're locked to the cap, this is the one way you can get better, is scouting and development of young talent.
Yeah, Greg, I think he'll be good. I'm kind of high on him.
So there's a lot of stories that are going around about Austin Reeves too, about how he's just in the gym, he won't get out of it, and they're saying I have to go. He has that Mamba mentality where he's not leaving the gym. Do you think they're both going to have big roles?
Well, I think they both could play. Yeah, I mean,
or are they kind of similar?
Well, it doesn't matter. You need as many wings who can shoot as you can find, but they have to defend. Again, I will say this until I'm blue in the face. Anybody giving analysis on the Lakers that talks for more than 30 seconds and never says the word defense, just ignore him because they didn't see his play last year. You have to defend if you're going to play this year for Darvin Ham, and if you don't, stay on the bench.
Bobcat.
So Lizzo was on with John's favorite show, Watch What Happens Live,
With the great Andy Cohen.
Lizzo,
I love Lizzo.
Yeah. She said that her most salacious DM was from Rihanna.
Really?
And I wanted to know, how often do people slide into your DMs, and what's the most salacious one you have had? Or, if you want to go a different way, who was the most famous person to slide into your DMs?
I'm looking at my DMs right now. My DMs are not
salacious.
Open. No, Mason's are open.
Yeah, mine are open.
So you can DM him at any time.
I just got
You can slide into his. Okay, so here, I'll just read anybody famous that comes up in my DMs, okay? Matthew Berry, John Ondrasik, Jimmy Jam Harris,
By the way, text with Jimmy Jam all the time. He's going into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in November.
Boy, and did you see his daughter
beautiful,
on the cover of that magazine? Boy, his daughter is gorgeous. And she's starting her career as a model, and she looks great. But that is pretty much the gist of it. I don't have anybody more famous than those three in my last 25 DMs.
So my most recent DM is from Rahul, R-A-H-U-L. It says, Just wanted to say, I saw your picture, and I'm probably off here, but you are one handsome man.
Hey.
Oh, sliding in.
Thank you,
sliding
Rahul.
In.
You
took
Thank
a shot.
You. Shoot your shot. Not going to make it, but shoot it.
Do you get some salacious DMs, Jorge?
That's a bobcat.
Bobcat.
All right, Jorge.
Okay, so the All-Star game is today. So there was a question being passed around to different players. And
yep.
The video I saw is 18 players, and 15 of those players said this. So do you say, let's have a catch or let's play catch?
Let's play catch.
Okay.
I don't understand let's have a catch.
Exactly.
I never have heard it until Field of Dreams. It almost is like somebody who had never played baseball started writing the script. Let's have a catch isn't a thing. I don't get it.
My dad said, let's have a catch.
So which did the 15 players say?
They said, let's play catch.
Yeah.
Let's play catch.
Yeah. That's all I've ever heard.
Yeah,
let's
me too.
Have a catch is what my dad always
said. So
I would
accuse your dad of not playing a lot of baseball.
Well, he played a ton of baseball.
Jorge, have you
my
ever
dad
heard anybody
was,
say
dad, no,
generically, let's go play catch?
Let's play catch. Yeah, exactly.
Let's have a catch.
Greg, what do you think?
It's let's play catch.
Yeah, let's have
See,
a
three
catch.
To one. You lose.
Oh, go! I always lose these disagreements.
Well, there's a reason.
Yeah.
Bobcat.
All right. So Roger Waters is a massive talent. Well, maybe he was about 20, 30 years ago with Pink Floyd.
What are you talking about? Hey. He's coming in September to Crypto.com.
I like Roger Waters.
He's going to perform in the round. Pink Floyd is fantastic. What's wrong with you?
You totally carbon date that crap.
Yeah, but
unless we're giving away tickets, then it's really good.
I think we are.
Are we giving away tickets? Roger Waters.
I think we did already.
Okay,
happened.
I mean, it's carbon dated.
I mean, he's a little bit older now.
All right, what's your
question? He was having a concert in Toronto, and it happened to be on the same night as The Weeknd was also kicking off his tour.
Okay.
So the Canadian press decided to cover the cancel. The Weeknd had to cancel, and the Canadian press covered The Weeknd concert instead over Waters' concert. So Waters wasn't happy and said this. By the way, with all due respect to The Weeknd and Drake, who are both from Toronto, or any of them, I am far, 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 that is three fars, more important than any of them will ever be, however many billions of streams they've got. So who is more important, do you think, today in 2022?
If I was going to buy stock, I would buy it in The Weeknd and in Drake
yep.
before I would buy it in Roger Waters. Matter of fact, my order would be Drake 1, Weeknd 2, Roger Waters 3. So I think Roger is completely wrong. And just a word of advice to anyone. Don't you know who I am is never a good
yeah,
look.
Yeah, never a good look.
It never works.
You know,
this is kind of don't you know who I am.
I'm kind of thinking this is an eras conversation. So
maybe.
Roger Waters is Bill Russell and The Weeknd is Steph Curry.
Yep.
The Weeknd is
Drake
happening
is Kobe.
Right now. And Drake is Kobe. Right.
Yeah.
Drake is right now. I mean, whatever is right now is always biggest in the moment. The moment is what matters. And has had a great career and all that stuff. But yeah, this is what's new, what's next. It's The Weeknd and it's Drake.
Bobcat.
All right. So I saw this tweet as right before Bobcat started. I thought it was interesting.
Okay.
If rent in Gotham was $300 a month for a 3-bedroom, would you move there?
Okay, so here's the question.
You lived in New York.
Yeah, which Gotham?
Gotham City, like Batman
but
Gotham
is it
City.
The,
nah,
Warner,
it rains
is
too much.
It, is it the Robert, is it the Robert
it
Pattinson one? Is it the Tim Burton one?
Or are they
is
just
it,
saying
is
New
it
York?
The Christopher Nolan one? Yeah, it does.
Wait a minute, are they just saying hypothetically New York?
No,
Gotham.
Gotham, like
the
Batman
character.
Gotham
City. Yeah.
Gotham City.
Yeah, well, Gotham City is always portrayed as a dark and terrible place. No.
Exactly.
Why would I want to move there?
I'd like a little, is it called a Pret-a-Porty?
I don't even know how to spell that.
No,
look
pied-a-terre, something like that.
What are you getting at?
Not crudité. No, pied-a-terre, like a little getaway, like a little apartment.
A weekend house.
Get away to Gotham. Yeah. By the way, the Warner Brothers one that just came out, the Robert Pattinson one, there is 100% chance of rain every single day.
Every day.
Like, it is going to rain every day. So that
and
Gotham.
For a lot of time.
But I'd stay in the Tim Burton Gotham. I think that's a nice Gotham City. And what is the term I'm trying to think of? Pied-a-terre, pied-a-terre?
It's a name for like a weekend getaway place.
Yeah, like a somebody else. Tweet me, at Venice Mace, M-A-S-E, if you know what I'm trying to say.
Bobcat.
All right, so I'm stealing another one from John. Will Ferrell turned 55 on Saturday.
Yeah.
What is Will Ferrell's best movie?
Okay, there are many, many, many candidates.
So many choices. Momo, by the way, says pied-à-terre, which means it's in French. It means getaway.
Okay. And she also says she doesn't understand why we call this segment Bobcat.
It's inexplicable.
I'll give the 15-second explanation. Bergman's mom, Jan, thought when we used to say fast track that person, Siri, was saying Bobcat. And she said to Greg, why does that person come in randomly and say Bobcat?
Bobcat.
So was that Jan right there?
That was my mom. Yeah.
Okay, so we had Jan record Bobcat and changed the name of the segment in her honor.
Fast track.
Now I forgot what your question was.
me
it was
too,
about
actually,
Will Ferrell.
After that.
Yeah, Will Ferrell's best movie.
Will Ferrell's best movie.
Because there's more than one, and because I worked in the TV news business, I'm going to say Anchorman.
Yeah.
But, Talladega Nights is fantastic.
I'm going to come at you like a spider monkey.
My smoking hot wife and my two children, Walker.
Dear Jesus.
Texas Rangers.
Dear baby
Jesus. Dear little
Jesus.
Baby Jesus.
Little baby Jesus.
Everything about Talladega Nights makes me laugh. It, especially when the guy, Sacha Baron Cohen, plays the foreign
The French guy, yeah, with the weird, I'm going to invent money or something he says at the end of the thing.
So those are both great. The Lego movie, which Will Ferrell is in, is fantastic.
He plays Batman, I think, right?
No, that's the guy who I went to play me, Will Arnett, plays Batman.
Oh, Will Arnett plays Batman, okay. Yeah, I mean, for me, it's really hard being in the business to not say Anchorman. I know Bergman is the one guy in the world who hates Anchorman.
Very overrated.
It's very, very funny. And
Step Brothers,
very underrated.
Old school,
very funny.
Old school, fantastic.
You're my boy, Blue.
Hey, what about the Zoolander?
Oh, he's good.
He's in Zoolander.
Which Hansel's so hot right now.
Yeah, which is fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, he's got so many movies that are just fantastic. I would say Anchorman.
I'm Ron Burgundy.
Anchorman, Talladega Nights, and let's see, for a third one, let's go. Yeah, Zoolander.
Semi-pro,
really good.
Very
semi-pro.
Funny.
I saw Get Hard. That was good. Third is the campaign.
Old School's very
Mega
good.
Mind, Other Guys is good.
By the way,
he's got so
isn't
many.
He in Wedding Crashers?
Yes,
at the very end.
No, he's in the middle. He's the guy.
Is he the middle?
Mob! Meatloaf!
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Very funny.
Bobcat.
That guy's got... Will Ferrell, and by the way, I mean, maybe he's out there listening. He's a regular listener to the station. When I was out at the LAFC game a couple of years ago, Will Ferrell rolled up to me and said, "Hey, you're Steve Mason?" And I was like, "Yeah, no, you're Will Ferrell."
Oh, yeah, I had the same experience. He was filming a movie at a Pelicans game in New Orleans.
Yeah.
And a movie with Mark Wahlberg, and they were both there. And I walked up to him, and I go, "Hey, Will, I wanted to introduce myself." And he goes, "John Ireland."
Nice.
And I went, "Yeah." He goes, "I listen all the time." He goes, "I listen to you and Mason all the time."
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, so he totally
gets
the show.
That's so cool. All right. Is that it for Bobcat?
We can do a kick it off the planet.
Yeah, do one more. Do a kick it off the planet.
All I have is pizza or burgers. Which one are you kicking off? Pizza or burgers?
Neither.
You can't do
it. I know, they're both great.
That's not a part of the rule.
Right, yeah, it's very, very
right,
hard.
I'm not I'm married to an Italian. I can't tick off pizza, so I'll regretfully kick off burgers, but I'm not happy about it.
God, you know what one of my favorite things is? When you check into a hotel and they've got room service and you order a burger in the first night and you eat it in bed, that is so great.
Oh, God, you and the eating
in
bed.
One of my favorite things in the world. But I would give it up because pizza, I don't go a week without eating pizza in some way, shape, or form. I mean, pizza's like sex. Even when it's bad, it's still pretty good. So, yeah, I'll kick burgers off the planet.
Yeah, but that...
that's a really
unfair
choice.
You always put two things in nothing. Neither one deserves to get kicked off. So.
Of course.
That's the bit.
Yeah.
That's the
Bobcat.
Bit.
I'll keep the burger.
All right, there you go.
What about Elf?
What? Yeah.
Oh, Elf!
I don't
so
know.
Good.
Elf's really good.
Yeah, yep. So good. So good. All right, coming up next for you, what Darvin Ham said today on the All the Smoke podcast about Anthony Davis, plus how to make one of those snake of beer cup things
unbelievable.
That you see at games now.
That live shot that guy did was
Isn't
unbelievable.
Awesome? We got that coming up next for you. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.